Welcome to the Kyle and Jim Fantasy Football Extraordinaire. I'm Jim, one of your hosts, and our other host over here is Kyle. How you doing, Kyle?
Doing good. Thanks, everyone, for tuning back in for the second half of the show. It went a little long, so I just decided to split it into two. Let's get into it.
So our next section is going to be a new section. Since we don't have any interview this week, we're going to do some bold takes. It's already week four. I think next year we'll do these a couple, maybe after week one or week two. Just we're going to throw out some wild claims. Nothing easy, but something that is possible, something we have a little bit of belief in. So I'm going to throw my first one out there. I'm saying the Cowboys are taking last place in their division this year. The Eagles are better than them, even though they're not that great. The Commanders, I believe, are going to be the number one team in that division. And I think even the Giants, because Malik Nabers is there, are going to get the better of them in their next head-to-head and probably take third place in that division. And the Cowboys are going to be dead last, miss the playoffs, and McCarthy will probably be fired.
Yeah, if they miss the playoffs, McCarthy's gone. There's a lot of talk he was going to be gone after this last playoff blunder against the Packers. So he's not lasting if they miss the playoffs. I think it's a pretty solid one. I would say on the temperature scale, it's not too hot. I think they have a pretty solid division. I would imagine, yeah, I think most people would still think they would finish above the Commanders and Giants. Giants definitely being the last place in that division, I think, by most standards. But they have huge flaws. We talked about last week. You can just run at them. If they don't get their running defense up to just an average level, it doesn't matter how good your pass rushers are. You're just going to keep running at them. That's what the blueprint is to beat them for the last couple of years. And it looks like it's just getting worse and worse. And you can't have that big of a weakness and then still have a competitive team. And their running game is what's supposed to offset that. And they don't have any good running backs. And their offensive line hasn't been as good as it's been advertised. So, yeah, they're going to struggle, I think, this year. I would not be surprised if they do end up last in the division. But it's still a pretty strong statement because the Cowboys do have one of the more talented rosters in the league.
They're definitely not a favorite to be last in the division. That's why I felt like it was bold enough. But I think their problem is their defense has been built to play from ahead, and they're not ahead anymore. And they don't have the running backs to like coast on a lead. So teams can come back against them, and it's the recipe for disaster, having no legitimate running back and having a defense like that. So that's my first one. What do you got for your number one bold take here?
So I'm just going to go right down my list. So my number one, and the one that made me think about doing this because I absolutely love him as a prospect. As I say a lot, I follow the NFL drafts. So there's players that I just watch all the NFL drafts where it's like, if they go to the right situation or if they don't, I just love them as a player. I think they're going to be great. Malik Nabers this year was my favorite receiver. I didn't understand why Marvin Harrison was being considered like the unanimous number one. I thought Malik Nabers was better, and not even just like a little bit better. I thought he was quite a bit better. He's just a guy who's very nuanced in his route running. He's athletic enough. Maybe not one of the most athletic players in the league, but he's got enough to do everything you want to do. But what I think is going to happen, I think he's going to lead the NFL in receptions and receiving yards. I think he's a one-man show in New York. I think he's the best rookie receiver maybe we've seen at least this early in a season, but I'll put him on par of Odell Beckham Jr., who was one of the most dominant rookies I've ever seen. And that's been Malik Nabers so far this season. He has the full route tree. As I said, he's very nuanced in his route running. He looks like he's a multi-year veteran out there. He is a one-man show. They're going to just feed him with targets. I think he's had like 17 and like 15 targets in back-to-back games. And those are just absurd numbers. No one gets that type of target share. And I believe like, and a high target share for a number one receiver, these are like the top dogs. Tyreek Hill, Jamar Chase is like 30% of the team's targets go to them. Nabers has been hitting like 60% some weeks. So I just think it's a perfect situation of bad team, one really, really good player that they just have to rely on. And I think he's so good that teams just can't even take him away. So I think you're going to have it. Maybe not crazy stats, but definitely just a lot of dink and dunks, 10 catches for 120 yards, maybe not even get a touchdown. And it's just going to keep accumulating. By the end of the year, you're going to be like, this guy's 120 catches as a rookie for 1,600 yards. And it's just going to be like, oh, he's the number one pick next year as a receiver.
Would you take him in fantasy? Would you take him over Nico Collins?
No, because of not. I think as an individual player, he's better, but I'm going to still take the better situation because I think Nico Collins will be just more consistent week to week, and he's got more touchdown upside.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nico Collins leads the league in all those stats, but that's not a very bold take, I guess. So, not really worth it.
I mean, it's not much further off Malik Nabers. They're both drafted around the same spot. I just think, yeah, now we've already seen Collins be very successful, but same with Nabers.
Yeah.
And that too. And like I said, it just comes down to he has a guy that we talked about recently who's maybe not generational, but he has a really good quarterback that throws in the ball, and Malik Nabers does not. So I'm gonna take Collins slightly in that one.
That almost benefits Nabers in a way, though, because like you said, he gets 60% of the target share. I think with a bad quarterback, a lot of times it's like, where's Malik Nabers? I'm chucking the ball there. I'm not going to even try to go to the next read. I'm under pressure. I'm just throwing in his general vicinity. And when someone's that good, they manage to come down with the ball, even when they seemingly shouldn't. And that could benefit him in the receptions and the yards.
Yeah, it's quantity over quality, right? Malik Nabers is going to have the quantity. And then Collins is going to have the quality. And he's going to have a lot of quantity, too. Maybe not Nabers level, but... Again, he's going to have more quality looks just because of the quarterback and the team he's on. So it's a really close one. They're both just incredible players. They're some of the up-and-comers for the best receivers we're going to see in the league over the next couple of years.
I dig it. I could see it. I'll throw my next one out there. People aren't going to like this. Well, one person in the league will like this one. Everyone else will hate it. But Sam Darnold's winning MVP this season. He's looked dominant so far. His team is awesome. They're undefeated. Coming into this week, nobody had a solid case for it other than Josh Allen. Josh Allen got just his ass whipped by the Ravens, so he kind of falls down. I don't even know who else you throw in the running right now. He seems like the clear-cut number one candidate right now. Will it keep up that way? I don't know. But currently, I'd say he's the favorite, and he can keep it up. He can win the MVP this season.
I think Vegas odds are coming out now, like with updated numbers, and I believe he's actually the favorite as of right now.
So it's not a bold take anymore.
I'm not 100% sure. I thought I read that. I was reading it at work, so I wasn't like fully paying attention to it, but it's just one of those headlines where I'm like, that's really crazy. And then I just kept scrolling, but I'm pretty sure I read that today. So it's still like Vegas, though. They're trying to make money, so they're just trying to capture on people being like, oh, that guy's it. And they're not really doing it in a way where like this is what they actually think is going to happen. They're doing what's going to make them the most money. So it could be just a money play, but it's still interesting. And I still say, even if with Vegas saying that, it's still an incredibly bold take. I mean, this guy was literally a backup to the Niners last year. He was a huge flop on the two teams he was on before that. So for him to even be sniffing an MVP is crazy. Which he has, but to even be the one that wins it would be, honestly, I think it's unheard of. I don't think we've ever seen anything like that. Maybe we have, but not in my lifetime.
We pretty much never. I feel like guys like this never get the MVP, even if they deserve it. Like last year, Lamar Jackson got it. Did he deserve it over Dak Prescott and Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I feel like they gave it to the bigger name, even if another guy's more deserving. So if Sam Darnold does get it, he fucking earned it. They'd much rather give it to Lamar or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that's happening this season, but it seems like your name does play a factor in it, and Sam Darnold is not that name.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's a good one. So my next one is one that I've definitely talked about this player on here many times. And again, going back to the draft, I really liked him coming out of the draft. He hasn't had many starts. It's Anthony Richardson. He's like, I think we talked about like 17 starts between college and the NFL or something like that. I think he's going to finish as a top five quarterback in points per game of fantasy football. I believe he had really bad weeks, and I think that's baked into who he is right now. I believe that his rushing upside is on the level of Hurts and Jackson, almost like a combination of two. He's much faster than Hurts, and he's much bigger and stronger than Jackson. He might not have quite Hurts's like low leg drive, because Hurts can just squat like 600 pounds. There's a reason why the tush push works. It's not the offensive lineman, it's Jalen Hurts. And Richardson gives a combination between those. So I feel like the potential for him is just so much higher as a rusher. His offensive coordinator, or his head coach is the offensive coordinator for Hurts that kind of unlocked Hurts and what he is. I think they've struggled so far just because, again, Anthony Richardson is so chaotic in his reads, in his delivery. He's just not consistent. I think he's going to clean that stuff up. He's got an elite arm. He's going to keep defense honest enough where he can still use his running ability. And I think he's going to eventually just keep improving with that. And he's going to start learning just to take more checkdowns. He's going to not throw as many wild passes. And then he still has the upside of all our stuff. So as long as the rushing is as good as I think it's going to be, and he doesn't knock himself out another three times this season, I would not be surprised if he's a top five quarterback. So I'm calling it.
I can't agree with this one. I don't see it happening. The dude's had too many. He hasn't had that many chances, but man, I just, when I watch him play, boy, it's painful. He doesn't look NFL quarterback capable. If he does what he did this rookie year and just runs it like a madman and is getting those touchdowns and getting 100-yard games, I guess, yeah, he could. In fantasy, yeah, I guess he could pop up there. But so far, he hasn't done that, and the one time he did, he got hurt already. Time will tell. It's possible. He was drafted pretty much like he should be. That's what he should be this year. But I guess after the terrible start, this is a pretty bold take. Bolder than I would have gone.
I'm definitely not saying this is going to happen. It's more of like, I see a pathway for it, and I'm just betting on something a little fun and something I think could happen. Because, again, you don't have to be a great quarterback. Jalen Hurts is the example of that. And he's been one of the best fantasy quarterbacks the last 3 years, and his like play-to-play as an NFL quarterback isn't even that great. And when you have that upside of the rushing, you don't even have to be a great passer. You just need to be a passing level passer. And I think that's all Anthony Richardson needs to be in that category, which is still, he's pretty far off of being. So make me right, Anthony.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm sure Scooter hopes you're right too. That'd be a big boon for his team. Up next, I got Juan Jennings, a wide receiver for the 49ers. I believe he'll lead the team in receiving yards this season. Brandon Ayuk got the big paycheck, but he has not looked great, and he doesn't seem super happy, even though he got the big paycheck. I was just watching a video the other day where Shanahan was just reeling into him in practice because dude didn't want to put on the right shorts like the rest of the team was wearing. So I think there's an issue there with him. Jennings has looked great. Clearly Purdy likes him. I think he's leading the team in receiving yards this season.
I heard about the red shorts, but I didn't know the story behind it. I didn't realize there was a bunch of drama attached to him. I just heard like, oh, he changed his shorts. And I'm like, why is this even a news article? But I guess I should have clicked on the article and read more about it. That's definitely a spicy one because obviously Samuel's there too, and he's one of the better receivers in the league along with Ayuk. I'm shocked that Ayuk didn't take the trade because he had the option to take the trade or take the contract. He decided to take the contract with the Niners, and I think it was actually less than he would have got from, was it the Steelers? I think was the team that was going to trade for him.
I think the Patriots offered him the most. From what I heard, the Patriots offered the most money, but he didn't want to play for the Patriots. And then the Steelers offered him not as much money, but more in the Niners, but he didn't want to play for them. So it's kind of, he wanted to go to like a playoff Super Bowl contending team and get paid more versus get paid more and go to like one of the lesser teams. Like he thinks he should be able to get it all. It's like you're not getting both of those things.
Right. Which is crazy to think if he's unhappy too. Like you took that deal and now you're still pissed off. Like that sounds like a Brandon Ayuk problem. Maybe he's just a head case.
That's kind of my thoughts. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the man personally. I'm not in the locker rooms. Just it's kind of the read I got on the situation right now. And that's why I think.
Yeah.
Plus, Debo's out. Debo's going to miss a bunch of games. He's already missed a few. I don't know if he's playing this week or not.
I think he was playing. There's a chance he's going to play this week. Okay. So next this week he should be ready to play. This was supposed to play last week. Sorry. He should be ready to play this week. As far as Jennings himself, he's kind of similar to Brandon Marshall. Remember him back in the day on the Bears?
Oh, yeah.
He's just like a 6'3". He doesn't have a lot of speed. He doesn't have a lot of separation, but he's just really good at boxing people out. He kind of plays like a pseudo tight end, even though he doesn't really block. He matches Purdy's game pretty well because Purdy's willing to take risks and give his receivers jump balls and just fit it into Windows and just hope the receiver comes down with it, which fits Jennings' game to a T. So like we talked about earlier, is that Brandon Ayuk, you know, he held out. So Juwan Jennings got all those preseason snaps with Purdy. So they're already trained up to being on time with everything, where Ayuk might not even been that way with Purdy. And yeah, if Purdy's looking the other way with Ayuk even on the field and Jennings is performing, I don't know if anyone's happy. The Niners happy with their investment? Is Ayuk happy with his role? That could be. And Ayuk's kind of showing he's got a little bit of diva in him. So I'm starting to like that a little bit more. Even when you first saw it or you first put it down, I was like, that's a little much. But now the more I think about it, I like it.
All right. We got one we kind of agree on. Nice.
Yeah.
What do you got up next?
I'm going to go against one of yours because you had Sam Darnold as the MVP. And I don't believe in the Vikings. So I'm going to say the Vikings are going to finish 9-8 and they're going to miss the playoffs entirely. So they're going to go, in my estimation, was that 1-4 or 1-8 for the rest of the season? No,
I can't. Five more games.
Five and eight. I can't count for now. Oof. 5-8 for the rest of the season. Wow, I am all over the place. 5-8 for the rest of the season. I know this is probably the craziest one I have on here with how good the Vikings looked. I think I saw enough from Darnold in the Packer game that there is some big concerns still with him. As soon as he got pressured, as soon as it looked like the Packers were coming back, I just saw some of those tendencies that I see from quarterbacks that I don't see from the great quarterbacks, the very good quarterbacks. You see passes that are off timing. You see when there's a little bit of pressure, you see a rollout and just a bad pass that maybe gets tipped or hits a corner in the hands that they drop. There was a couple plays there that he could have thrown in that game, and he put those in position for the Packers to make a play, and they just did not. So this is more of a bet against Sam Darnold long-term than it is a bet against the Vikings, because I actually love their coaches. I love their defense, and I still think Jefferson's the best player in the NFL. So they have a lot of talent, and they're probably going to be better than that. But I think Darnold is eventually going to struggle in the second half. He's going to cost them games, and they're going to start falling behind. And I will not be shocked if they miss the playoffs because of it.
Missing the playoffs, I can get behind. Maybe even 10-7, I could get behind. But 9-8, that's only 5 more losses all season. They got to have some gimme matches in there. Well, they only got 5, maybe.
It's supposed to be hot.
Yeah, I get you. Maybe I got to give the counter. I got to give the counter side of it if you're throwing out something hot like that, though.
Sure.
I mean, you think they're going to win another division game? I assume the Lions beat them twice.
I think the Lions will beat them twice.
Packers beat them next time they play them.
Packers beat them. Yeah.
What about the Bears? The Bears going to beat them twice?
And the Bears will split. So that gives them 5 wins. Then they have 4 more.
And there's got to be some cupcake matches in there. Although you never know in the NFL.
But that's the thing, is he's that type of quarterback. If he's as bad as I think he is, he's going to throw games against bad opponents too, right? Like the thing is, like, I don't look at the Vikings and say they can beat, or they're so good that they're not going to lose to certain teams. Like the Lions, I don't think we're going to lose to like weaker opponents. And maybe I'm going to be bit for this, you know, we're going to come back to this and be like, oh, look at you lost to, just hypothetically, we lost to the Jaguars at 1-4 and we just get dominated. I don't know what the Lions' mental makeup and the way their team's built is going to lose those type of games. The Vikings just, they just had a 2 years ago where they had all those crazy games that they won by like a touchdown or less. And there's just something about that team. And this has been a little bit of it too. Yeah, they had 2 crazy dominant wins against 2 teams that we thought were going to be really good, but they're underperforming too. And the Niners had like nobody on offense that week. So like they hit the Niners at the perfect time. I think CJ Stroud and the Texans just had a bad game because the Vikings defense is really good and they have a different style. They're able to mask their pass rush really well, and they mix their pass rush and their coverage off the same players, which is really confusing for quarterbacks still. It's a very unique defense. I don't even really understand it to a level that I can talk about it. I'm just going off of what I've been reading from other people, but it is a very complex defense and it's working. And it might just be one of those situations where some team's going to figure out what you do to beat it, and it might just slowly drift away and not be a thing. Or it might just be what everyone's going to be copying next year. It's kind of one of those things. It's either going to be copied or it's going to fall off the face of the earth. You know, it's like the Wildcat a couple of years ago. So we'll see what they keep doing. I think overall, there's too many weird things going on with that team for them to keep up their success. They're just punching above their weight class, and they will regress.
All right. Pretty bold. They made Ashley happy for 1 second and stripped it away in the next. All right. Well, we'll get on to the next one. Another quarterback in the division. I guess that's the theme right now. I'm going with Jordan Love's going to lead the league in passing touchdowns this year. And here's my case. He's missed half the season, yet he's currently tied for 5th in touchdown passes this season. He was number 2 last year behind only Dak Prescott, and that was his first year ever as a starter. The guy throws the ball. The Packers like to throw touchdowns. I think he's going to lead the league in touchdowns this year. What do you think?
Obviously, missing 2 games is going to be a little hard, but no one's taking...
No one ran away with it during
ahead of the pack. Yeah, base, I mean, yeah. Darnold is leading the league right now with 11. I think he's the only one with double digits, too. So if you believe what I'm saying, Darnold ain't keeping that going. So, yeah, Love has a chance to do it. If the games go like they did against the Vikings and he's just got to chuck it up a bunch like that and like they do fall behind, maybe the defense wasn't as good as it looked after beating 2 really bad offenses and they're going to be in a lot of shootouts, then yeah, Jordan Love can easily lead the NFL in touchdown passes, I think, by going through that type of game plan over and over and over again. Not game plan, but that game script over and over again. I still think the Packers defense is pretty solid. I think the Vikings game in particular just got behind early. Once they started clamping down, you saw Darnold struggle. I think that's the actual Packer defense. So I'm not sure if there are going to be enough shootouts to really make it work, because I do think Love has to catch up. But again, there isn't anyone pulling away with it, so there is a chance for him to do it, and I think he's talented enough to do it.
Yeah, he's not far behind for missing, like I said, 2 out of the 4 games so far. And the Packers' defense so far, they get a lot of interceptions. I don't know how good they are at stopping, but they're getting turnovers, which almost helps Jordan Love get even more touchdowns, because it's not like they're just like stopping them and keeping the score low. It's just, oh, we got a turnover. Chuck it to Reed or chuck it to Wicks or somebody. And those running wide receivers on that team are all over the place, and they're all good. I think he can do it.
So I will go to my next one. And since you already had your Packer homerism and you had your MVP take, I'm going to take and just bottle all mine up into one. Jared Goff is winning the MVP this year. And I think it's easy right now to see a path for it, because I don't think Mahomes is going to win it. I know earlier in this season we thought, yeah, Mahomes is a good shot at winning it. You know, just he's going to go nuclear in the league, but there's just too many injuries there, and they haven't been a great offense for 2 years now.
It's been very subpar so far this year.
He's running off of his own hype right now, because he turns it on in the playoffs and he's incredible, but in regular season he hasn't been that great. They're almost like an NBA team, those NBA teams that just coast in the regular season. They don't try, they rest players, and then they're like, oh, NBA or the playoffs are about to start. Now it's time to start taking every game serious, and they're going to play 40 minutes instead of 30. And, you know, those players just take over the league. That's what kind of what Mahomes does in a way, but it's not a Mahomes take. The other guy is Josh Allen, and he would have been my favorite. But after watching that Ravens game, I got worried. Like I said, I think you can take away their receivers and it's going to make Josh Allen have to beat you with his legs, and they're going to have to beat you with their running game. And I just don't know if they can consistently take a defense. And I guess they can't just run the ball and force a defense to stop playing coverages the way the Ravens did in that game. And I do believe the Ravens have a really good secondary, so that could have just been part of it. But I think you're going to see other teams take that blueprint. And if they can handle that with their skill set of their players, I do see Josh Allen struggling from week to week with some of that. That brings me back to Goff. Those are my two guys who I think would be favorites at the beginning of the year. There's really no one else that I think like, okay, well, I guess maybe Lamar Jackson, but he hasn't been that great either. Goff is in the best position of all of them. He's got the best offensive line, as we talked before. His skill position group is one of the best in the NFL. And if you keep Goff upright, statistically, this is not even me hypothetically saying this or just me saying, oh, this is it. He's statistically been the best quarterback in the league when he does not have pressure in his face. When he has pressure in his face, he turns into a bowling pin. But as long as you keep him upright, he is an incredible quarterback. And I think right now the Lions have all of that working for him. And we saw that on Monday night when everything's going, he's really hard to beat.
Well, I'll give my retort to that one. So, I mean, to start with, Goff, he's had a couple of bad games already this year with some turnovers and some fumbles. Honestly, his year wasn't off to a great start. This last game, he looked excellent. I'll give him that. But I think he suffers from a few things. Like, number one, we kind of went over before, like, he doesn't have the name. He's not one of the big, you know, poster boy of the NFL names. So that's going to make it really hard for him to win an MVP. I think he might suffer from the same thing that Purdy kind of had last year. Like, even if he is performing great, a lot of the credit's going to go to, oh, he's got a fantastic coach. Oh, he's got two elite wide receivers. Oh, he's got two excellent running backs. The Niners had one, but same thing applies. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's getting all this help from this. Is he that great? The numbers say he's great. But he's not the name, he's not the poster boy, and there's too many other offensive pieces there, so they don't give him the credit, even if he deserves it. That'd be my counter case for Goff winning an MVP.
So I've one counter for you, and this is actually the name I thought of when I thought of Jared Goff. Matt Ryan. Was he ever that? Was he ever the poster boy of the NFL? Because he almost had the exact same situation as Goff was in right now. He was putting up better numbers individually as Goff, even though I think Goff is probably a better player than Matt Ryan was at that point.
I wouldn't disagree.
I just think that is my example of, like, these guys can win when there's a lackluster field for quarterbacks. And I think we're looking at a potential lackluster field because, again, we already lost Mahomes. Allen doesn't have the best receiving core. So if he has a weakness like that and you can hit him on that weakness, he's going to have some bad games. And his bad games are really bad. Josh Allen, he's a big risk taker. And when he underperforms, he can throw four picks a game. Goff, he has a little bit of that in him too, but not quite to the level of Allen. So that's just another one where I just think he's just going to keep grinding out games like he did this week. And eventually you're going to look at his stats and, yeah, he had some bad games to start the season, but his last two games have been really solid. And you're going to be like, he's sitting here at 37 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, 4,700 yards, and he's on a team that's 13-4. And if there's no one that's really set themselves apart, that's going to be good enough to be in the MVP conversation no matter what. And then it just depends on what the other players around him did.
Honestly, yeah, Matt Ryan, that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, I guess. That kind of makes sense. I could see how Jared Goff could win it because it's a very similar situation. That year that Matt Ryan got it, so many similarities. He had two great running backs. Was it Freeman and Coleman back then? Just guys that he could dump it off to. They could get yards after the catch. He had two great receivers. Julio Jones was there. There was another guy there, too. I can't
remember the name of him. But I don't know if he was too old at that point.
I can't remember either.
But it was White and Gonzalez, I think.
Yeah, there was another guy aside from Julio that was pretty legit, though. You know, people were starting him in fantasy. He racked up a lot of yards. Not Julio yards, but nonetheless. Once again, yeah, he had Shanahan as an offense coordinator, not the head coach, but I think Shanahan got a lot of credit for that offensive production that year, and that's why he's a head coach now and been doing very well with it. So, Johnson, I could see it.
If you want to add another parallel, you know, Ben Johnson, this crazy good offensive coordinator that everyone wants as a head coach, and that's what Shanahan was for years.
Yeah, why didn't Ben Johnson go anywhere in the offseason anyways?
Gets to choose what he wants. I think he can choose almost any job. I think the only job that would have been even worth taking would have been the Chargers this year. And I think with Jim Harbaugh being the favorite for that, I don't think he had a shot. Jim Harbaugh is an incredible coach, and teams know that, and they're willing to dish out the money for him. It's kind of like, do you take the unknown that could be really good, or do you just take the guy that you know can literally just take garbage roster in 2 years, make it a contender? Like, that's just, he's incredible. So I think he just wanted the right situation. Honestly, I think the Cowboys and the Eagles are the people that are going to get him next year. I think he's going to take one of those jobs. I think they both could lose their coaches depending on how they finish. And Ben Johnson seems like a perfect fit for either of those because they already have a good quarterback. They have all the weapons that they can need on offense. And it looks like they kind of just need a new direction because both of those teams have lackluster head coaches. So that's what I'm expecting. And I think that's why he waited. And he also said that he thinks the Lions are going to be something special. He wants to be part of it. And he just may not be a guy that wants to be a head coach. There's been some rumors that he has no interest in being a head coach, even though he's taken the jobs. It's like he won't do it unless it is the perfect situation. So maybe he stays with us another year. Who knows?
We'll see. But yeah, I don't like to see any credence in that bold take, but I'll give it some credence. You laid out a good case. I'll throw out my last one. This one isn't NFL related. It's fantasy football related. I put down that Carson's is going from worst to first this year. His lineup is good. He's got three starting wide receivers that can each easily drop 20 points in a given week. He's got Kyren Williams. The guy's looking like a god again. He's almost as good as two running backs in one. He's got Lamar Jackson, probably the number one quarterback on the year so far. Dude can drop 30 any given week. And he's got Njoku. If he comes back, he might actually have a good tight end, one of the few. I think Carson's is going to pull it off. He might get to get rid of the trophy and get to knight the next person all in one. What do you think?
I had to pull up his team here just because I had to know exactly what I was looking at. Now, I do believe there's better teams in the league, a few of them, just by looking at it quick. But a lot of things you said are true. He does have a top-tier quarterback, a guy who can easily win you weeks. Kyren Williams has looked like what he was last year, which is one of the top running backs in fantasy, which that's always a good spot to be. Chase Brown might be your path to this being correct. He looks like the best running back in that backfield. He's just got a different gear. Mm-hmm. He could be very valuable mid to late season. He's just one of those guys that, you know, they slowly just every couple of weeks they get a little more work, and eventually they take over the starting job. And
especially if that offense really gets going.
Right. And it's a great offense. So there's a lot of points there for Chase Brown. So if he ends up getting most of that workload, he could end up being an RB1. I think it's pretty far off for him, but he is talented. Garrett Wilson, another guy who's kind of underperformed so far and can end up becoming much better if Rodgers isn't washed, but I would be really worried about that one. Mike Evans, he's the most consistent player we've probably seen in fantasy football over the last 10 years. You just know what you're getting with him. He's never going to be the best receiver in the league, but he's always going to be pretty close, and that's good enough. Jaden Reed is the most valuable player outside of Jacobs on the Packers, and he's going to keep ascending, I believe. I don't agree with you on Njoku as much. I'm not a big fan of his, but
they need him. That offense is something.
He has like some decent bench players. Jonathan Brooks is another guy who could end up getting good to the end of the year. Tajay Spears. So I'm just trying to see. His bench is kind of weak. He needs his starters to really pull for him and stay healthy. But again, it's fantasy football. You never know what this roster is going to look like in 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Heck, you might not even know what it looks like a week from now. So there's so much that can change. If his team stays healthy, other teams start getting injured, he's got a really easy shot. And he has a good enough team to make the playoffs. So if he can make the playoffs, he's got a chance of winning the whole thing. He might want to change the Green Bay's kicker, though.
I assume he will. We watched the game with him. He's not a Narv dog anymore.
Oh, no. Narv dog is over.
So I guess that's my last one.
One. I almost forgot because this is the one I added. So I originally started with four. I was pretty good with the four I had. I thought they were pretty spicy. I believed in them. I had a struggle to find the last one. I wanted it to be a player instead of a team. And I wanted it to be something that people could relate to a little bit more. So I ended up going with Dontavian Wicks as the most valuable Packer receiver this year in fantasy football. So I think I just said that about Jaden Reed, but I am going to take the little hot pick here and just try to talk it up. I actually really like what I've seen from Wicks in his, is this his second year? Was he a rookie last year?
Yeah, it's his second year.
Okay. I saw him last year and I really liked what I saw. He's got high-end route running skills. He's able to put people in a box and get separation instantly, which is just not something a lot of players can do. I know he's not huge. I think he's like 6'1", but he's big enough. And he has great hands. He's great at attacking the ball. And he has clean and crisp technique. So a lot of guys, they try to like body catch. He's always a guy who's putting his hands on, he's attacking the ball. Those are two skills that I always look for in receivers. And when they have those two skills and they put that with a good quarterback, where I think Love is a pretty solid quarterback, you're going to get some good production. And we even saw last week, and he had like two touchdowns. I think he dropped another.
He dropped the third one.
Right.
It was a bad drop. Hit him straight in the chest. And he didn't catch it.
Maybe I should take back the great hands comment. But he does have really good hands. And he is a great route runner. And again, those two things are 1A and 1B when it comes to a wide receiver. So I'm going to take him as the most valuable Packer receiver moving forward. I know he's on your team, so if you trust what I'm saying, I mean, you should feel pretty good about that one.
He was on every single one of my fantasy teams, all three. I'm out of the, I think I mentioned this earlier in the show, I'm out of the guillotine league. But he was cheap. I have the exact same thought as you do on this one. I think he's the best receiver on that team. He's only year two. Players develop over time. Mm-hmm. Devontae Adams had like a kind of promising rookie year. His second year, he wasn't great. He dropped a lot of balls too his second year. And then year three and onwards, you know, you look back, he's one of the great receivers of the NFL looking back at the last decade or so. I think Dontayvion Wicks could do the same thing, and that's why he's on all my teams. He was super easy to get in drafts. You sit him on the end of your bench, you wait. Opportunity's there now. Christian Watson's out, so Dontayvion's going to be in most of the game now, and he's going to get his opportunity, and if he makes the best of it, he'll be extremely involved.
And I don't think he's going to give that starting position back. I think he's better than Watson. Is it Watson or Watkins? I forget his name. Watson?
Watson.
Watson. I've not been that impressed with Watson. I know he had a pretty good rookie season, got a lot of hype going into year two. The hamstring injuries worry me. I was actually surprised he didn't have a hamstring injury for once. You know, it seems like every time
he's
having a hamstring problem. And I think Dontayvion is just a better player. Yeah, he's not as tall, maybe not as fast, but he's probably better at every other part of being a receiver. So I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, I like him a ton. So we're both in 100% agreement on that one. No arguments to be made from my side. Well, that's our bold takes. Hopefully you enjoyed them. Like next year, I think, we'll do them a little bit earlier. If we can get more bold and be proven wrong.
We could even do it before the start of the season.
Because
we don't have much to talk about. So every first episode is always our bold takes. And then maybe we can add some kind of like fun thing about it. If someone's wrong or someone's right, and we'll figure that out later.
Oh yeah, because some of them you'll know after like week two, you'll be like, well, I whiffed on that one.
You gotta get some like punishment or something, you know. We'll figure out a way to reward and punish us for each one.
Yeah, it's almost hard to make these. I'm like, we're 4 weeks in, how bold can I be? Like, I feel like I'm just riding off the wave of what's happening currently.
Right. I mean,
I told you, like I had to change some of them because I wrote them before the games happened, and the games happened. I was like, oh, gotta delete that motherfucker. That ain't it.
Right.
That's off the table now.
Well, I originally had the Bengals as the winner of the AFC North. And then I watched the Ravens just destroy the Bills. I'm like, nope. I'm going to go back because I always liked the Ravens the most there, but I just wanted to be bold because they were kind of lackluster so far. And I think the Bengals are always starting slow. So then that'd be kind of a fun one. And then, that one got deleted.
Yep. Yeah, my deleted one was I had Aaron Rodgers winning MVP after he rolled off his first good game. I was like, he's back. Yeah. He's going to win another MVP before he retires. And then whoops, you daisy, that ain't fucking happening.
Yeah, and that was before I knew you got rid of it. So I thought we were talking earlier. I was like, oh, you're talking really down about Rodgers. I'm like, but you're about to tell us all he's going to be the MVP. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I thought you were just going to play up like, oh, it's just a down game. He's ready to. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not a fan of him this year. I think he's regressed.
Yeah, as do I. I mean, it had to be a bold take, so I had to roll off one awesome matchup and be like, he's as good as he ever was. Yeah. All right. We'll roll into the next section. We got the injuries of the week. Not a ton of them. Not any. Well, there's a few. We'll just jump right in. The first one, we had, I think it's the biggest one. We had Rashee Rice. He hurt his knee. I haven't seen any update on it. It looked bad. His knee bent the wrong way. Rumors are ACL, but last I heard from the Chiefs is they're still doing tests to see what's happening. I don't know if he'll be back this year. This is a wild one. for anyone who didn't watch the Chiefs game, Mahomes threw just a terrible pick, just a terrible throw. It was awful. It wasn't even close to the guy. So the dude picks it. I don't even know if Rasheed was the target, but he chases the guy who intercepted. He chases him down. He punches the ball out. So he causes the guy who intercepted it to fumble. And the Chiefs manage to jump back on it and get the ball. So he saved the turnover, even though Mahomes got a pick. But Mahomes runs after the guy who Rasheed is punching the ball out of. Mahomes runs after him to try to tackle him. He's a quarterback, so he just goes low at his knees and kind of throws his body at him. But he completely misses the guy. Instead, he smokes his receiver, Rasheed Rice, in the knees, and quite possibly ended his season. It's just wild. I couldn't believe it happened. These are both players on my team, so it affects me greatly, and I was just flabbergasted when it happened. I don't know if you have anything to add, but it sucked.
I mean, it's kind of amusing because I'm sure there's worse situations for a fantasy team, but there might not be many where you lose the number one receiver of your quarterback who you drafted as the second overall quarterback. So you don't really have a lot of plans to replace him. You're not in a situation to have a backup quarterback, and you might have just tanked two players in one play.
Mm-hmm.
Mahomes hasn't even been that good to begin with this year. I don't know what his average is, but I know he's been underwhelming. So, yeah, it was a brutal injury. Hope Rice can get back healthy. I know the reports initially were like, this is guaranteed to be an ACL tear, but now they're kind of holding off on announcing it, which it sounds like there might be some positive news coming out about it. Maybe it's not quite as bad, but I still think it's probably going to be he's going to go on IR and probably miss like 8 games. I can't imagine he's coming back from that anytime soon.
We'll see. I thought the same thing when Jordan Love got hurt. His knee kind of popped sideways. It was like, shit, fuck, shit, season's toast. And he was back 2 weeks later. So I'm not writing him off yet, but it did not look good. And it sucks if you're a Rasheed Rice owner, a.k.a. me. He's one of the shining things on my team, one of my only good draft picks, and that's the end of that.
I said last week he was the steal of the draft so far. Yeah, that's what happens. He was the best pick in the draft all the way down to being useless. Hooray for fantasy football.
I gotta start on the wide receiver hunt, which is always fun in this league. Up next, we got Anthony Richardson. It said his hip is what got hurt. He kind of took a hit. I think he fumbled on the play. I won't swear to that, but it was pretty early in the day. It was pretty early in the game. Sounds like it's day to day. He might be back this week. They might keep Flacco in because he finished the game off and looked pretty good. They might give him an extra week to rest. If you're an Anthony Richardson owner, you're probably not starting him until you see a good game anyways, but that's all I got for him. Anything to add to it?
He got hit, he fumbled, hurt his hip, comes back in, coach runs a quarterback run play with him, and he gets hit and he's out for the rest of the game. So I don't know why they ran a run play with him the next play after he hurt his hip. That might be some negligence on the head coach, but as everything I've heard, yeah, it's not too serious. We might see Flacco one more game just to give Richardson a little bit of a breather. And maybe it's a good way for them to kind of be like, here, just watch Flacco for a week or two. Just calm down. See what a NFL quarterback is supposed to look like. Try to mimic that and then add all your fun rushing stuff with and we'll be fine. So maybe it's something like that.
One step at a time, Anthony Richardson. Yeah, take another game off. But next up, we got Jonathan Taylor. He had I read it as they put minor high ankle sprain. And usually high ankle sprains are the bad ones.
Like, right. That's
everyone's confused. For players, like, you want a lower ankle sprain. Higher ankle sprains are usually bad. Like, you're missing 4 weeks. And you're going to take another 2 to 3 weeks before you get back to form. But they said this one's a minor high ankle. So it's day to day. You might play this week. I don't know. If he's your running back, keep an eye on it. Definitely. They're not ruling him out. But usually high ankle sprains are like a month-long thing. Like I said, like usually you miss almost a month and then you ease back in. So I don't know what to make of this one. I don't know what a minor high ankle sprain even means.
Yeah, I read minor high ankle sprain. I listen to a fantasy podcast that I listen to every couple days. I'll listen to an episode just around the days I think it's important. And they were laughing at it too. They're just like, what does that even mean? Like, why do we make any assumption off minor high ankle sprain? Like, yeah, I think it's just one of those things that the injury wasn't enough to really derail him. maybe it's just day to day, but again, we've talked about this earlier. It just seems like, oh, I'm fine. And then Ken Walker misses 3 weeks. So I don't take teams at word anymore at all. This year has been very much masking every single thing that these players deal with, and no one's being straightforward with it. So use caution if you're a Taylor owner or not. You know, there's things that you can learn from something like this.
Yeah. Not much else to say on that one. We don't know enough about it. Up next, I got Christian Watson. He gets his monthly injury checked off. This happens every year. This one's different. Usually it's a non-contact injury when he goes down, but this time Jordan Love threw him a bad pass. It shouldn't have got thrown at him. There were two guys just teeing up to just smoke him when he got it, and unfortunately his leg kind of got caught awkwardly under one of them and just got rolled. So I don't know exactly what the injury is even. I didn't write it down or I didn't see what it was, but it didn't look good. I would almost think for sure he's not playing this week. Keep an eye on it. Check for updates if you're a Christian Watson owner. I don't know what else to say about that one.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, yeah. Love threw him a medicine ball. He got his medicine, and he's going to be dealing with it for 4 weeks, probably, maybe longer.
It's the Christian Watson experience, unfortunately. Next up, I got Taysom Hill. He hurt his abdomen. Again, I don't know exactly what that means. Sounds like it's day-to-day. He had a good game. If you started him, you're happy. Hopefully you get to start him again next week.
Yeah, I mean, day-to-day injuries. Just keep an eye on it.
The last one I have is Bijan hamstring, and he didn't practice on Monday. I didn't even know anything happened to him during the game, but he plays on Thursday Night Football. Maybe it's just soreness. Maybe it's a Veterans Day off, even though he's a second-year player. I don't really know, but if you have Bijan, I would pay attention to it.
Yeah, that's all you can do. It's a minor injury. We know that, but it's enough to get rest. But with them being a Thursday night game, maybe they wanted a day off because they know he's good. Just keep him healthy, give him his extra day off, get him ready for Thursday night. So you could look at that multiple ways.
Another one I have, I didn't write this one down, but I saw an update today. Christian McCaffrey has tendonitis in both of his legs. So not even a one leg thing. Just more bad news for McCaffrey. Got to have another bad news update for him every week, apparently.
Yeah, he's going to have an update. And they said that he might start practicing soon, too. So I don't even know anymore with that. It just seems like every day there's something new and doesn't make any sense with him. We talked about it before. I believe that we saw his last elite season. I don't think he's going to be someone that they can rely on for a whole season. I just feel like his age, tendonitis in the knees, they're going to have to keep him on pitch counts, and he's going to kind of go more to like a 1A to 1B with Mason moving forward. So hopefully for Scoots, it's not that, because he might just have two running back twos in the end. So we'll see. Obviously he traded for McCaffrey to be his top dog, but I'm very concerned with the injury. And I do think we might not see much of Christian McCaffrey beyond the next year or two.
I honestly thought of putting one of my pot takes as, or bold prediction, is McCaffrey doesn't play another game in the NFL ever. I think it's possible.
It could be. I mean, they're being so hush-hush about it and not giving any details that it clearly was always worse than they expected to go to a specialist in Germany. I've heard that the reason they went to that specialist is, I guess, it's a very common thing for soccer players. And obviously Europe is much more enriched in the soccer sport than we are here in America.
Definitely.
And that's why they went to him. So it wasn't like that weird, I guess, if you think about it that way. It's just like, this guy has more experience with this than anyone in America does. So that's why he went there to take and get a expert opinion. So maybe it is something he can work around, but I believe I have tendonitis in my knee right now. I've never really got it, you know, proven by a doctor, but my knee will every now and then just hurt. And it's generally lined up with my psoriasis. And I was told that like, that is very common to have tendonitis or any kind of like, arthritis when you have psoriasis. Okay. So I believe my knee is that way. And it's hard for me to walk sometimes. Like I can feel a limp if I try to move my knee in a certain way. And it's like, if I'm an NFL running back at 30 with that problem, how can you be as productive? I really, really think it's going to be hard for him to be a top dominant player again if it's anywhere close to what I have. And I have to imagine mine's not even that bad. So
right,
having both these, oh man, I feel for the guy, but luckily he's had a good career up to this point. Hopefully he can give us some more great seasons because he's a fun player to watch.
Indeed.
I would just hold my judgment until we see him back on a football field.
And hopefully we do. That wraps it up for the injuries. We'll roll on into the final section, the matchup recaps for the week. Matchup number one, we got me versus Jackie. Jackie wins this one, so she moves to 2-2 while I fall to 2-2. The notes I had for this one, Mahomes kept his interception streak alive for the whole first month of the season. Kind of already mentioned that. Rashee Rice dropped a zero for me. Already talked about that and why it happened. My two highest players this week were DeAndre Swift and Dontavian Wicks. They were both on my bench, so that didn't help me one bit. Sucks when that happens. Jackie's quarterback, C.J. Stroud, he looked better this week. Ken Walker for Jackie came back and active rotation, and he looked fantastic. Didn't need to add on any of those notes. Most of them were already kind of discussed.
Yeah, obviously, you had a bad week. Losing on top of the injury, that's going to be a hard thing to recover from. The biggest note outside of that, you kind of hit on it. Ken Walker looked fantastic. He was one of those guys that went later in the draft because people didn't really know what Charbonnet was going to be. But if you're Jackie, you feel really good about that pick. Ken Walker looks like he could be even the number one running back this year if he just keeps playing at that way he played against the Lions. The Lions are not a bad run defense. They're the best run defense in the league going up to it. And you saw they were making penetration. There was that one run that he got like a 30-yard touchdown where Hutchinson blew the play up.
Oh, yeah, he, like, bounced outside. And
yeah, and then he bounced outside, and the other defensive end didn't have good contain, which, you know, that happens. But you have to be a special athlete to still beat that defender to the corner and then also outrun that cornerback. There is a legitimate burst of speed you need to have that ability, and it was incredible to watch. And I've always liked him, even going back to his college days, and it was just fun watching him. He seems like he even got faster since he was in college. He's always kind of a bigger, stronger guy. He must have lost some weight, I think, because he seems like he has an extra gear than I remember in college. And college is kind of like a plotter guy, and that's kind of an insult. I shouldn't say plotter. He was just more like grind out tough yards, run up the middle. He's definitely getting more of a overall balanced workload.
Yeah, he looked great. He gets those games. He always has, though, since I believe his rookie year.
Yeah.
He'll have games like that where he just goes fucking buck wild, and then he'll be real quiet for a while. He's one of those enigmas in the NFL. He looks so talented, but then just disappears every now and again. I don't know what to make of Ken Walker. Part of it's just the offense. Anyways, yeah. Up next, we got Tiff versus Scooter. Scoots wins this one. He moves to 3-1. Tiff falls to 2-2. So for Tiff, we had Josh Allen. He underperformed again this week. That's 2 out of 4 weeks. He kind of looked pretty shaky. The other 2 weeks, he looked absolutely dominant, kind of won the week for her. You hope he can have more good games going forward. You can't be having that from a pie-drafted quarterback, I know personally. Scoots switches quarterback out this week. He put Geno at the helm. Ben Stanton, Richardson is a good call, especially because Richardson got hurt pretty early on. We had Taysom Hill this game, a tight end, if you want to call him that. You play him as tight end in fantasy. He had 0 receptions for 0 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's Taysom Hill. That's the tight end position. What are you going to do? It's weird. He's a weird player.
I like him. He's like an enigma, yeah. But he makes fantasy fun. I like players like that can be put in like a weird position when they're maybe not even that player. Like when he was a quarterback, they first put him at tight end. He was playing quarterback, and I remember some of those weeks where he'd play quarterback and he could put him at tight end. It was just cheating. Doesn't look like
he's
much of that anymore. But
yeah, Carson's had him that year. I remember that. Dude, he has had 2 quarterbacks on his team for like 3 weeks in a row.
That's just so cool. I just love it.
All the leagues were like, do we redesignate him? Because he's a starting quarterback now because their quarterback got hurt. And now he's like legitimately taking the quarterback snaps at the start of the game. But he's still the tight end.
Just happens every now and then. There was like some Packer player back in the day who would be a running back or receiver sometimes. I can't remember his name. He was like the backup running back to Lacey for a while. You guys drafted him.
Hmm.
I want to say.
It wasn't Kuhn, was it?
No, it was a longer name than that.
I think Kuhn was like our, you know, emergency Kuhn was a quarterback. Fallback. Yeah, but he was our emergency quarterback. That one year when Rodgers got hurt and then...
Oh, really?
Fuck, we went through that landslide of just fucking garbage. But they kept getting hurt. Seneca Wallace is one of them. It was like, holy shit, Kuhn's the next guy up, apparently. If this guy gets hurt, Kuhn has to take over snaps from the quarterback.
That's always funny to hear who like the emergency players are. I think our emergency kicker and quarterback is Amon-Ra St. Brown. So that guy's just amazing at everything he does. He was like already talking before he threw that pass, all like he wants to throw passes in an NFL game. He's actually like, he thinks he's really good. So it's cool watching that stuff, seeing players do things that are not from their position. I don't have a lot to say on the game itself. Obviously, these matchups, these are more personal to the people.
Yeah.
Just kind of giving little tidbits. But I want to kind of focus on Scooter's moves to kind of prove to people why it's so important to keep an eye on free agency, why it's important to make moves, maybe even ahead of time. Because if he stays where he's at, he loses his game, right? I think he beat Tiff by not even a point.
It was super close. Yep.
He made two really good decisions. Yeah, his tight end got injured, so it was easier. Like, I have to get a tight end, but my quarterback sucks, so I'm going to go get a quarterback. Yeah, he did have pretty straightforward decisions, but it just proves to you there's players out there in free agency, if you make the right calls, can change your whole entire week.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sitting there and you don't have the greatest starter, you should be turning out the bottom of your roster to find players to fit those positions where you have a weakness. For example, there was a lot of receivers dropped after week two. I ended up picking up two of them. Both those receivers put up, I think, 12 to 15 points this week. And I feel pretty good about it. And all I'm doing is just turning out the bottom of my roster. Yeah, do I need them to start this week? No, I might not ever need them to start. But you're just building a lot more redundancy in your team. So if you do have injuries, you have backups right away. Or if you end up trading, you might be able to trade a player that you have starting right now because you have a backup that's almost just as good and you can improve your roster as a whole and then put that guy into your starting lineup. So free agency is very important.
Yeah, well played by Scoots and he gets a win out of it. He made those roster adjustments that needed to be made.
Could be the difference in making the playoffs right there. Those two decisions.
Next matchup, we got Lee versus Ashley. Ashley wins this one, goes to 2-2. Lee falls to 0-4. Ashley drops a 150 burger on Lee. Second time that's happened to Lee this year. This one's not any player related, but I got that Lee just can't catch a break this year. I looked this up. He has 573 points scored against him so far in the season. The next closest for points against is 490 by Vicky. So not even close. The league average of points against is 445. So Lee's basically 120 points over the average for points against after 4 weeks. Or if you want to break that down week to week, basically teams are scoring 30 extra points against Lee whenever you play against Lee. So,
and that comes down to no matter how good you're performing, you can't win. That's an insane amount of points in our league. Yeah, we have a kicker. Most leagues struggle to score 100 when you don't have a kicker. We score probably around like 115, 100, you know, somewhere in there.
I'm going to say a little over 100 by the average, yeah.
Right. To add a 30-point cushion, how do you beat that? I think I'm the league right now winner at 480 on the season. So that's almost 100 more points than I've scored on the season. That's crazy. So, yeah, unfortunately, Lee's had terrible luck all around. He can't even catch a break. Even last week against me, he had some good decisions. He had Sam Darnold. He looked like he was going to beat me. And then just my team kind of went off. I was the number one point scorer that week. He was the number two. And it's like he had his great week. He did all the right things and still lost. I feel for him. Those are hard seasons. Hopefully it doesn't break him and he still wants to keep playing next year, but he's having a rough season.
Yeah, I think he's still having fun.
He does seem to make the most of it, so I appreciate that.
Next note I had on this one, we kind of mentioned this. Baker might have been worth the fab. He looks great. Threw for 347 yards, two touchdowns, ran one in. Looks good. Ashley spent a lot on him, kind of shit on it when it happened, but she's won weeks because of this, so I can't knock it anymore.
And
lastly, Nico continues to dominate. That guy looks like he might be the best receiver in the NFL right now. He gets open, he makes catches, he gets yards after the catch. He fucking pushes guys off of him. He's fun to watch. He's an awesome receiver.
he's just a guy that's, I don't know if he's exceptional in any one category, but he's just like really good at everything. He's big, yep. He's fast, he's agile, he's strong. He just kind of checks every box. Yeah, again, he might not be the best at any particular thing, but when you just do everything at a high level, you're going to be good. You add a really good quarterback to that, he's borderline unstoppable at times. So he's going to keep ascending. I love watching him play too.
Next match, we got you versus Poor Boy. You won this one, so you moved to 4-0, last undefeated team in the league. Poor falls to 2-2. Notes for this one, I had Carson Steele ended with negative points for Poor Boy after his fumble. I'm not sure if Steele's going to get any more action this season after that. A little bit. He'll get a shot, maybe, but he's not the top dog there. I had Kyle Pitts, your tight end. He got 3 targets, 0 receptions, and 0 fantasy points this week. It's not the year of the tight end. I don't know what you do about it. You had a... Who'd you have? You had that Ravens tight end for a minute, turning him away, but he hasn't done shit either, so...
Yeah.
What can you do? Then we had the 49ers defense. They showed up. They pretty much trounced the helpless Patriots. Gave you 23 points in your defensive spot. That was a good defensive... I mean, you had the Niners, you're probably starting them pretty much every week.
I had them all year, yeah. They had a somewhat easy early schedule, so I just picked them up thinking, hey, they are kind of set and forget for the first month of the season. That's good enough for me.
Good to have that.
I'm surprised you didn't make a comment about me being behind again and then winning on Monday night.
but you were kind of favored to win on Monday night because you had Jameson Williams and David Montgomery. I think you were favored. It wasn't like super favored.
It was really close. There was a point where it looked like I was going to lose by 10 points by the ESPN projection. And I know that kind of leveled out, but it was like almost the exact same thing that's happened every week this season, where it's just like, I go into the final game. Like I might be favored by a little, I might be behind by a little, and somehow I'll squeak it out. So it's just been my year so far. I've been pretty lucky with that. It sucks for Poor. I think he had a really good team. It came down to, I think Carson Steele just kind of ruined it for him, you know, losing points, taking a 0. Obviously, I had Pitts too, but like at least Steele as a running back, he thought he was going to be somewhat productive. Maybe his ceiling wasn't the highest, but he at least had a floor. And to get benched, that's hard to come back from.
Yeah, I know Poor was favored by a lot after like the noon games, but I think after the, because we were watching it together, we were over at Lee and Ashley's house watching it with Ashley, but I believe after the 3:30 games, maybe Sunday night, it looked pretty 50-50. And I was looking at your roster like, oh, you got Montgomery and Jameson Williams against the Seahawks. Poor's toast. There's no chance of winning that game anymore.
Yeah, no, that's definitely how it went. I was looking at it. It seemed like, yep, I'm going to lose, whatever. I just ready to pack it up, thinking about next week because I have like a bunch of buys this week. So I'm like, shoot, I might lose 2 in a row. And then week out, I feel a lot better about this week because I'm probably going to take a loss. So. And that's going to be my only really bad bye week.
Oh, yeah, you got the Eagles on bye. That's your Eagles quarterback and your running back.
Oh, so and the Lions, too. Both starting running backs, starting quarterback, and my number 3 receiver. All.
Who are you playing this week?
Vicky.
Oh, nice.
She's had a rough year so far, but I think she might be getting a freebie.
Maybe she'll get a W back on the stat sheet. Next match, we had Mike versus Richard. Richard wins this one. He moves to 3-1. Mike falls to 1-3. I got to throw it out there again. Mike loses once again due to a poor decision on his quarterback. He started Carr again. He got 8.06. Mike lost by 6. Start either of your other quarterbacks. You win this game pretty easily. Mike could be 3-1 right now if he just wouldn't have started Carr the last 2 weeks, but instead he's 1-3. I don't know if he's going to change it this week or leave it the same.
I wonder if he did that just out of spite because everyone made fun of him for it. It's like, no, I'm going to show you guys. And just kept him in because like, I thought it was kind of weird that he kept him in again. Jaden Daniels should have been the starter, in my opinion. Like, he's looked really good. He's got a really safe floor because of his rushing upside. And
the defense is bad, so like he's going to get points every week.
He looked like a prime candidate for 20 points. So, Mike, starting Jaden Daniels as long as he's not playing against some great defense. And if that's not the case, and you're playing Burrow against a good defense, play him. Just drop Carr. You can't use him. Like, he's not that good.
Trade
you have two better quarterbacks than him. Just don't get him off your team. Option. Right. Take the option away from yourself. You're hurting yourself, buddy. You're hurting yourself.
Yeah, this will be the week where he benches him and he goes off for 30 or something.
Right.
God damn it. I made the wrong decision again. That's why you just keep one quarterback. You don't have to worry about making the wrong decision.
Yeah, that's always a tough one.
Yeah, what can you do? Other notes I had for this one, J.K. Dobbins kind of returned back to earth. Yeah, honestly, over the last 2 weeks, he faced some rough defenses, and he's not looking like the absolute stud he was in the first 2 weeks of the season. I think he'll bounce back a little bit. Like I said, he had to play against two really tough defenses the last 2 weeks, and his score was reflective. The whole team's score was reflective. They just didn't score much and produce much.
Yeah, I mean, it was a low-scoring game. Typical running backs aren't the best for low-scoring games, and Kansas City defense is dominant, so they took Dobbins pretty much out of the game.
Yeah, the only real highlight of this matchup was Derrick Henry. We already talked about it. He just absolutely dominated. I don't know what he scored in fantasy. Had to be over 30. Maybe over close 30. To 40.
Some leagues it would have been 40 because some leagues give you extra points for long runs where he becomes even more valuable. So
yeah, or bonus points for over 100.
Yep, and I think
he was 1 yard away from rushing for 200 too.
Yeah,
he had 199 rushing yards and 10 receiving yards, so he could have got even more bonuses in certain leagues. But yeah, that was a dominating performance. No one else was too shiny on those two matchups. Last one we had, Vicky versus Carson's. Carson wins, moved to 2-2. Vicky falls to 1-3. This matchup highlights Lamar Jackson. Once again, proves to be a difference maker at the quarterback position. He was pretty dominant. Even though he was panning the ball off a lot, he still wound up a lot of points by running and making the few passes that he did. Jaden Reed, he looked great with Love back at the helm. Once again, I think the two games Jordan Love played, Jaden Reed had well over 20 points. So when those guys are both in, Jaden Reed's looking pretty electric. Mike Evans got back to form. He was against a couple really good corners the last couple weeks, but now that his schedule's easing up, he's right back to where he always is. Kyren Williams, he's the only guy left on the Rams currently, and it shows because he keeps getting a ton of production. The last note I had to throw in there, Narveson, Packers kicker, for anyone who doesn't know the name, is kicking a really nice 69% field goal percentage this season, which I believe is second worst in the NFL.
Nice. I mean, it's pretty hard to be under 69% too, so if there's someone worse than that's impressive. That's...
You tend to lose your job when it's that low. So
you guys can be mad at the Lions because you guys wanted the kicker the Lions got. They said that the Packers were actually pretty upset that he signed with the Lions. I can't even think of his name right now, even though he's our starting kicker. But there was a report after the Lions got him that the Packers were really pushing hard for him, and they got turned out. He went to the Lions because he's from Michigan. He actually kicked for a Michigan team, and he just, you know, he'd rather be in a better team, I think. So at the time, I shouldn't say better team. He just wanted to be probably near home. But
that's his home. Yeah.
Yeah. So he turned down the Packers for the Lions, which is not normally how things go in the NFL for me. So
take it.
We made you lose that game.
It's painful as a Packers fan. We had Crosby for fucking Christ, such a long time. I don't remember when he wasn't there hardly.
And it was like
we had someone good too. Yeah,
it was Ryan Longwell, and then did you even have anyone else?
Kind of like our quarterbacks. Like we've been used to having such good ones for so long. It's now we're getting ones like how the fuck? How are we missing 40-yard field goals? It's just wild. You just don't ever expect even like the 55-yard ones. You're like, it's a toss-up. And nowadays, it's just like, just go for it on fourth. Don't fucking kick the field goal.
That's what the Lions do, because numbers just don't back it up. I mean, 50-plus yard field goals are just not that effective, because unless you have an incredible kicker, like Aubrey is his name for the Cowboys, that can kick like 70 yards accurately, there's almost no point in even going for it. It's just way more profitable to just keep going for fourth downs and try to score a touchdown. Eventually get a better position for an easier kick, because after like 40 and in, they're almost automatic. Most kickers are. It's just that 50-yard marker where that's when, you know, kickers really make a difference.
Sometimes you get stuck in those spots where it's like fourth and 15 because of a penalty or something. It's like, we're not fucking going for it on fourth and 15 at the 50-yard line.
Right. No, there's obviously a number that
you know, then you kick it and you hope for the best from your kicker. But when they shank it that often, I don't know what they're going to do.
They might
drop Narveson. Carson's. He's not worth rostering.
Maybe Carson should go over there. He can go try out.
He's lucky
walk into Lambeau and be like, I can kick for you guys.
He's lucky he got 1 point out of his kicker, honestly. It should have been negative. He had enough extra points, luckily. That's it. That's all the matchups. That's all the show. Well, no, we have one more thing yet. We got the bet. Did you look over the bet things I chucked out there?
Oh, did you send me some? Shoot, I am so
I put
sorry.
Something in the general chat. If you don't, we could bet on Thursday Night Football, but I put I just thought a fun one might be there's two matches that have really low over-unders. We got the Broncos versus the Raiders at 36.5, and we got the Dolphins Patriots at 35.5.
Sure.
So I figure
score lower?
Oh, you man. Can pick. Yeah, who scores lower? And I'll give you the pick. I don't even care.
Oh God, this is bad. The thing is, they all have good defenses too, so it's not even like you get like this easy matchup where you're like, oh, this offense might perform. Like, four good defenses. Dolphins are the best team when they have Tua, but obviously they don't have Tua.
He won't be back this week, yeah. They put him on IR, so he can't come back till week 7. Oh. I don't know, whatever.
This is
he won't be back
probably
this
the
week.
Hardest decisions I've ever had to make.
I mean, if I got the pick, I'd pick Dolphins Patriots. I don't see that game going anywhere. The thing that worries me about that is maybe the Patriots score like 21 or something stupid because the Dolphins are just completely inept.
Well, the thing is, the Dolphins always play the Patriots well, and the Dolphins have Waddle and Hill, who are the best skill position players outside of Davante Adams in this group. And Davante Adams isn't really the guy who can just take a 5-yard pass and score a touchdown.
I also don't know if Adams is going to play, because I keep hearing from the Raiders they might be trading him, so they might just be leaving him out as injured or whatever.
Patriots, I feel like the Dolphins, even though they've been awful, they just have those players that can make any play into a touchdown. So I'm going to just bet on that. They'll have a decent offensive outing off of like one or two plays that tips the scales. But that's a tough one. That was a really good question. I'll take Patriots, Dolphins to score more. And the Broncos and Raiders.
Okay, so you think Broncos Raiders will be the lowest score?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, then I'll take Dolphins Patriots. Cool. That works out. I figure it's a little bit different, stupid, worthless question to bet on.
Great question. That was actually very challenging. You sent me like I was basically on the line and I could be pushed either way. You kind of pushed me with the Davante Adams stuff, or like all that drama going around. They might be traded. Even the head coach liked a tweet about Adams won't be on the team in a couple weeks.
It kind of makes you think he's not going to play because they're shopping him. And the last thing you want if you're shopping the guys for something stupid to happen.
He was pissed last year. I mean, I'm surprised they didn't trade him in the offseason. I think they were hoping they could be competitive, and they just realized they're not, and they just need to capitalize on what value he still has because
yeah, you might as
he
well
want to be there. He went there because of Carr, and then they literally get rid of Carr the next year. Like,
I felt kind of bad for him because apparently the Packers offered him like the same amount of money, but he went there because, like you said, he liked Carr, and then the next year Carr gets traded away.
Think how crazy that could have been timeline wise. Like, does Rodgers even get traded at that point? You guys might not even be seeing what Love is right now. He might have just played
fell into nothingness
as a backup the whole time, and then went to a different team and ended up being pretty good. You guys would feel probably really bad because Rodgers would probably be declining if he would have got injured too, like he did with the Jets. Obviously, that's you can't predict that, but it's crazy to see how timelines off of like one trade or one player can literally flip a whole entire league.
Yeah, because if Devontae's still there, they do a little bit better that last season, so not like all right, move on. But
it is what it is.
History's in the books
friend,
already.
Your friend gets traded because you have Josh Daniels as your head coach, and he just trades Cutler and then he trades Carr because he doesn't like good quarterbacks, and the rest is history.
So you got Broncos Raiders as the lower score.
Yep.
Okay. I got Dolphins Patriots as the lower score. Cool. Yeah, I like that one. That's it. Any other parting words?
Just been a fun year so far. I've liked the chaos with injuries. I think that always makes fantasy more fun. Been
staple.
What's that?
It's a staple of fantasy.
Right. It adds the unpredictability, right? I mean, and that's what makes it so anyone can play the game. If it wasn't for that stuff, there would be a much bigger gap between skill levels. But when you have so much randomness, it just makes it crazy and fun. So I'm having a lot of fun. I think the league is keeps improving. I loved what I've been seeing from people, some of the trades, just people being a lot more active in free agency. I don't know if it's anything to do with this podcast or not, but overall, I've been just enjoying it and just hope we keep it going. Hoping we'd be here 5-10 years from now laughing that when we started this, you know, that's what I want to see. So thank you everyone for everything you're doing. Thanks for listening to us banter about football. Even though we don't know anything that we're talking about for over an hour every week. It's been a lot of fun doing this and I can't wait to keep doing it.
Me neither. Looking forward to next week too. We'll see if we get another guest on next week. Either that or we'll do another weird segment, but I'll text the people and see if someone wants to come on.
I like the way we've been doing it. I think it'll be good to, like, you know, guest or like some special segment every time.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it a little more fun.
Cool. On that note, we will call her a night. Thanks everybody for listening. Tune in next week and good luck in fantasy. Bye.